Marilyn Ferguson observed, "No one can persuade another to change. Each of us guards a gate of change that can only be opened from the inside. We cannot open the gate of another, either by argument or by emotional appeal. If you decide to open your gate of change, to really understand and live the principles embodied in the 7 habits, your growth will be evolutionary, but the net effect will be revolutionary."
When 2 people in a marriage are more concerned about getting the golden eggs, the benefits, than they are in preserving the relationship that makes them possible, they often become insensitive and inconsiderate, neglecting the little kindnesses and courtesies so important to a deep relationship. They begin to use control levers to manipulate each other, to focus on their own needs, to justify their own position and look for evidence to show the wrongness of the other person. The love, the richness, the softness and spontaneity begin to deteriorate. The goose gets sicker day by day.
If my sense of security lies in my reputation or in the things I have, my life will be in a constant state of threat and jeopardy that these possessions may be lost or stolen or devalued. If I'm in the presence of someone of greater net worth or fame or status, I feel inferior. If I'm in the presence of someone of lesser net worth or fame or status, I feel superior. My sense of self-worth constantly fluctuates. I don't have any sense of constancy or anchorage or persistent selfhood. I am constantly trying to protect and ensure my assets, properties, securities, position, or reputation.
Effectiveness lies in the P-PC balance. P stands for production of desired results, the golden eggs. PC stands for production capability, the ability or asset that produces the golden eggs, the goose.
Excessive focus on P, production, results in ruined health, worn-out machines, depleted bank accounts, and broken relationships. Too much focus on PC, production capability, is like a person who runs 3 or 4 hours a day, bragging about the 10 extra years of life it creates, unaware he's spending them running. Or a person endlessly going to school, never producing, living on other people's golden eggs, the eternal student syndrome.
PC, production capability work, is treating employees as volunteers just as you treat customers as volunteers, because that's what they are. They volunteer the best part, their hearts and minds.
You can buy people's hands, but you can't buy their hearts. Their hearts are where their enthusiasm, their loyalty is. You can buy their backs, but you can't buy their brains. That's where their creativity is, their ingenuity, their resourcefulness.
Intrinsic security comes from service, from helping other people in a meaningful way. One important source is your work. When you see yourself in a contributive and creative mode, really making a difference. Another source is anonymous service. No one knows it, and no one necessarily ever will. And that's not the concern. The concern is blessing the lives of other people. Influence, not recognition, becomes the motive.
The more genuine the involvement, the more sincere and sustained the participation in analyzing and solving problems, the greater the release of everyone's creativity and of their commitment to what they create.
You can't talk your way out of problems, you behave your way into.
I can change. I can live out my imagination instead of my memory. I can tie myself to my limitless potential instead of my limiting past. I can become my own first creator.
People can't live with change if there's not a changeless core inside them. The key to the ability to change is a changeless sense of who you are, what you are about, and what you value.
Between stimulus and response, one has the freedom to choose. Within the freedom to choose are those endowments that make us uniquely human, self-awareness. imagination, the ability to create in our minds beyond our present reality, conscience, a deep inner awareness of the principles that govern our behavior, and a sense of the degree to which our thoughts and actions are in harmony with them, and independent will, the ability to act based on our self-awareness, free of all other influences.
Often when people are really given the chance to open up, they unravel their own problems and the solutions become clear to them in the process.
The problems we face fall in one of three areas: direct control, problems involving our own behavior; indirect control, problems involving other people's behavior; or no control, problems we can do nothing about, such as our past or situational realities. Changing our habits, changing our methods of influence, and changing the way we see our no-control problems are all within our circle of influence. So whether a problem is direct, indirect, or no control, we have in our hands the first step to the solution.
Our language is a very real indicator of the degree to which we see ourselves as proactive people. The language of reactive people absolves them of responsibility. That's me. That's just the way I am. I'm determined. There's nothing I can do about it. I can't do that. I just don't have the time. Something outside me, limited time, is controlling me. If only my wife were more patient. Someone else's behavior is limiting my effectiveness. I have to do it. Circumstances or other people are forcing me to do what I do. I'm not free to choose my own actions. That language comes from a basic paradigm of determinism, and the whole spirit of it is the transfer of responsibility. I am not responsible, not able to choose my response.
A serious problem with reactive language is that it becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. People become reinforced in the paradigm that they are determined, and they produce evidence to support the belief. They feel increasingly victimized and out of control, not in charge of their life or their destiny. They blame outside forces, other people, circumstances, even the stars, for their own situation.
True independence of character empowers us to act rather than be acted upon. It frees us from our dependence on circumstances and other people and is a worthy, liberating goal. But it is not the ultimate goal in effective living.
Love the feeling is a fruit of love, the verb. Reactive people make it a feeling. Hollywood has generally scripted us to believe that we are not responsible, that we are a product of our feelings. But the Hollywood script does not describe the reality. If our feelings control our actions, it is because we have abdicated our responsibility and empowered them to do so.
One way to determine which circle our concern is in, and therefore how proactive we are, is to distinguish between the haves and the bees. The circle of concern, those things that concern us but over which we have no real control, is filled with the haves. I'll be happy when I have my house paid off. If only I had a boss who wasn't such a dictator. If only I had a more patient husband. If I had more obedient kids. If I had my degree. If I could just have more time to myself. The circle of influence, those things that we can do something about, is filled with the bees. I can be more patient. Be wise. Be loving. It's the character focus.
The ability to subordinate an impulse to a value is the essence of the proactive person. Reactive people are driven by feelings, by circumstances, by conditions, by their environment. Proactive people are driven by values, carefully thought about, selected, and internalized values.
Taking initiative does not mean being pushy, obnoxious, or aggressive. It does mean recognizing our responsibility to make things happen.
As proactive people, we can carry our own physical or social weather with us. We can be happy and accept those things that, at present, we can't control, while we focus our efforts on things that we can.
Anytime we think the problem is out there, that thought is the problem. We empower what's out there to control us. The change paradigm is outside in. What's out there has to change before we can change. The proactive approach is to change from the inside out, to be different, and by being different, to affect positive change in what's out there. I can be more resourceful. I can be more diligent. I can be more creative. I can be more cooperative.
If I really want to improve my situation, I can work on the one thing over which I have control, myself. I can stop trying to shape up my wife and work on my own weaknesses. I can focus on being a great marriage partner, a source of unconditional love and support. Hopefully, my spouse will feel the power of proactive example and respond in kind. But regardless of the response, the most positive way I can influence my situation is to work on myself, on my being.
Sometimes the most proactive thing we can do is to be happy, just to genuinely smile. Happiness, like unhappiness, is a proactive choice.
Test the principle of proactivity for 30 days and see what happens. Make small commitments and keep them. Be a light, not a judge. Be a model, not a critic. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Keeping a journal of our thoughts, experiences, insights, and learnings promotes mental clarity, exactness, and context. Writing good letters, communicating on the deeper level of thoughts, feelings, and ideas rather than on the shallow, superficial level of events, also affects our ability to think clearly, to reason accurately, and to be understood effectively.
All things are created twice. There's a mental or first creation, and a physical or second creation of all things. You have to make sure that the blueprint, the first creation, is really what you want, that you've thought everything through. Then you put it into bricks and mortar. Each day you go to the construction shed and pull out the blueprint to get marching orders for the day. You begin with the end in mind.
The most effective way I know to begin with the end in mind is to develop a personal mission statement or philosophy or creed. It focuses on what you want to be, character, and to do, contributions and achievements, and on the values or principles upon which being and doing are based. Because each individual is unique, a personal mission statement will reflect that uniqueness, both in content and form.
A tendency that's run through your family for generations can stop with you. You're a transition person, a link between the past and the future. And your own change can affect many, many lives downstream. You can write it in your personal mission statement and into your mind and heart. You can visualize yourself living in harmony with that mission statement in your daily private victory. You can take steps to love and forgive your own parents, and if they are still living, to build a positive relationship with them by seeking to understand.
A personal mission statement based on correct principles becomes a personal constitution, the basis for making major life-directing decisions, the basis for making daily decisions in the midst of the circumstances and emotions that affect our lives. It empowers individuals with timeless strength in the midst of change.
There is transcendent power in a strong intergenerational family. An effectively interdependent family of children, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins can be a powerful force in helping people have a sense of who they are and where they came from and what they stand for.
The core of any family is what is changeless, what is always going to be there, shared vision and values. By writing a family mission statement, you give expression to its true foundation.
When parents see their children's problems as opportunities to build the relationship instead of as negative, burdensome irritations, it totally changes the nature of parent-child interaction. Parents become more willing, even excited, about deeply understanding and helping their children. When a child comes to them with a problem, instead of thinking, "Oh no, not another problem," their paradigm is, "Here's a great opportunity for me to really help my child and to invest in our relationship." Many interactions change from transactional to transformational, and strong bonds of love and trust are created as children sense the value parents give to their problems and to them as individuals.
There are times to teach and times not to teach. When relationships are strained and the air charged with emotion, an attempt to teach is often perceived as a form of judgment and rejection. But to take your child alone, quietly, when the relationship is good, and to discuss the teaching or the value, seems to have much greater impact.
Sometimes we get social mileage out of our children's good behavior, and in our eyes, some children simply don't measure up. Our image of ourselves and our role as good, caring parents can be even deeper than our image of our children and may even influence it. There can be a lot more wrapped up in the way we see and handle problems than our concern for our children's welfare. It is then that, instead of trying to change them, we should try to stand apart, to separate us from them, and to sense their identity, individuality, separateness, and worth.
Most people say their main fault is a lack of discipline. On deeper thought, it seems that the basic problem is that their priorities have not become deeply planted in their hearts and minds. They attempt to give priority to important but not urgent activities and integrate them into their lives through self-discipline alone. But without a principle center and a personal mission statement, they don't have the necessary foundation to sustain their efforts. They're working on the leaves, on the attitudes and the behaviors of discipline, without even thinking to examine the roots, the basic paradigms from which their natural attitudes and behaviors flow.
Most of us think we don't have enough time to exercise. What a distorted paradigm. We don't have time not to. We're talking about 3 to 6 hours a week, or a minimum of 30 minutes a day, every other day. That hardly seems an inordinate amount of time considering the tremendous benefits in terms of the impact on the other 162 to 165 hours of the week.
The essence of the best thinking in the area of time management can be captured in a single phrase: organize and execute around priorities.
You have to decide what your highest priorities are, and have the courage, pleasantly, smilingly, non-apologetically, to say no to other things. And the way you do that is by having a bigger yes burning inside. The enemy of the best is often the good.
How different our lives are when we really know what is deeply important to us. And keeping that picture in mind, we manage ourselves each day to be and to do what really matters most.
The successful person has the habit of doing the things failures don't like to do. They don't like doing them either, necessarily. But their disliking is subordinated to the strength of their purpose. That subordination requires a purpose, mission, a clear sense of direction and value. A burning yes inside that makes it possible to say no to other things. It also requires independent will, the power to do something when you don't want to do it, to be a function of your values rather than a function of the impulse or desire of any given moment. It's the power to act with integrity to your proactive first creation.
Only when you have the self-awareness to examine your program and the imagination and conscience to create a new, unique, principle-centered program to which you can say yes, only then will you have sufficient independent willpower to say no with a genuine smile to the unimportant.
Ideally, there is harmony, unity, and integrity between your vision and mission your roles and goals, your priorities and plans, and your desires and discipline. In your weekly planner, there should be a place for your personal mission statement so that you can constantly refer to it. There also needs to be a place for your roles and for both short and long-term goals.
Almost all of the world-class athletes and other peak performers are visualizers. They see it, they feel it, they experience it before they actually do it. They begin with the end in mind. You can do it in every area of your life. Before a performance, a sales presentation, a difficult confrontation, or the daily challenge of meeting a goal, see it clearly, vividly, relentlessly, over and over again. Create an internal comfort zone. Then, when you get into the situation, it isn't foreign. It doesn't scare you.
Begin today with the image, picture, or paradigm of the end of your life as your frame of reference or the criteria by which everything else is examined. By keeping that end clearly in mind, you can make certain that whatever you do on any particular day does not violate the criteria you have defined as supremely important, and that each day of your life contributes in a meaningful way to the vision you have of your life as a whole.
Management is clearly different from leadership. Leadership is primarily a high-powered, right-brain activity. It's more of an art. It's based on a philosophy. You have to ask the ultimate questions of life when you're dealing with personal leadership issues.
We each have a number of different roles in our lives, different areas or capacities in which we have responsibility. I may, for example, have a role as an individual, a husband, a father, a teacher, a church member, and a businessman. And each of these roles is important. Writing your mission in terms of the important roles in your life gives you balance and harmony. It keeps each role clearly before you. You can review your roles frequently to make sure that you don't get totally absorbed by one role to the exclusion of others that are equally or even more important in your life.
Objective reality is composed of lighthouse principles that govern human growth and happiness, natural laws that are woven into the fabric of every civilized society throughout history and comprise the roots of every family and institution that has endured and prospered. The degree to which our mental maps accurately describe this territory does not alter its existence.